Welcome back to episode 15 of the podcast that is the most inconsistent talking shit podcast ever. But we have Adam joining us today, as usual. We're going to find this.
What I'm doing. Check it out. Got myself a GoPro and we are filming. Anyway, hey, Okerville.
Yo.
Okerville is here. Yo. Dude, hey, I heard this guy's here. Okerville's retiring.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that.
I heard he's a sellout. The only reason why I came on here and came on today is because he said he loved this podcast.
Did he actually?
Yeah, he said he loves the podcast. It's super original, and we should do more of this.
Yo, if anything, Sour Skittles is the shit, bro.
Sour Skittles?
Yeah, man. Oh, man. I ate so many, my mouth fucking hurts. But I just keep eating them. I have a buddy who keeps sweating when he eats them, too.
Is he fat?
No, he's not fat.
No?
Yeah, you're looking pretty fit.
Me?
Yeah, how's the if you guys didn't know, Adam's been going through this weight loss training and dieting and everything program. How's that been for you?
Challenging, but it's good. I'm enjoying it. I did that. I bought a
what up, All-Star?
Thing to do. I bought a thing to do what up, All-Star? To do plunges. That's intense, bro. I'm not enjoying it, but I am at the same time.
I've never done plunges, but let's, you know, since it's the New Year's, let's talk about kind of why did you get yourself going to that? I mean, I was there part of the process of when you were kind of looking through that, but what was the main reason that kind of fired you up thinking that that's something you had to do moving into the new year?
Well, I mean, my old man, my a lot of people saw my father passed at 58, my grandfather passed at 55. And unfortunately, my grandfather just passed on Monday, my other grandfather. And most of the guys on my Gordon side of my family die before 60. So I'm the oldest, and so I'm 35, and that's not far away. So I just want to be healthy, and I want to be there for my kids. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's scary, dude. It's scary to think about. So it just kind of changed the way I look at things. I haven't drank in, like, 4 weeks, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm down like 15 pounds already. Yeah, it's not too bad.
That's old. 15 pounds, that's really damn good.
Yeah, I'm down a lot. But what up, Pro Drains? I just want to do it the right reasons, to be happy for myself, be happy for my kids, be there for my kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
no,
I didn't want it to be one of those things, oh, new year, new me bullshit. I've been doing it for 4 weeks now. You were on the call when I was talking to the coach.
Oh, I was. No, 100%. I always say, I even told my guys, like, if you guys are one of those people that are still looking day to day until the end of the year where you say you need New Year resolutions, that shit's bullshit, man.
Yeah.
As soon as you have a fucking resolution, you fucking do it right away.
Yeah.
Like, why do you have to make an excuse? It's like 2 weeks afterwards.
All-Star, you still owe them to me. I'm coming out of the drinking retirement when it comes to the trade show, so I'll see you at AHR. I'll be expecting those 6 beers.
or he can get highballs with vodka soda or something. That's better.
That's even better.
Beers, yeah, vodka, are a lot of calories. I mean, yeah. I've been on that as well, actually. I don't know if a lot of people knew that, but I did a post lately because I had a trainer. I lost 20 pounds and I'm keeping that 20 pounds off, but I was sick for a good month and a bit, so I haven't been training that much. But it has been very great. Like, I've been healthier, I've been stronger, more energy, and overall, it just feels better when you have a better diet and you do that certain exercise. And I think for a lot of people in the trades, that's a really big thing, right? Every time we talk about it, like, you know, plumbers keep saying they're too busy, they're too this and that, and they forget their own health. They don't do the workouts, they don't do the fitness, and they end up getting a lot of weight. And they think that the everyday exercise of working is going to be enough while they start having beers and food and all that junk that, you know, they put it on their body, you know, it becomes really detrimental to their health over time.
Well, the people like us and people, a lot of people in the trades are entrepreneurs that really want to go farther and do more. And I found myself being really tired from a lot of the shit that I was doing and just exhausted and not being able to focus mentally and being foggy. So I mean, thinking about your health too, is you're going to be able to time manage better, and you're going to be able to understand what is important in your life. And I don't know, there's a lot of things to it, so it
It's
is what it
true.
is.
I mean,
It's a fun journey.
it is, and I but it's great to talk about because health as well. You know, the
Yeah.
biggest thing about it is you can make a lot of money, you can do a lot of shit. What's the point of doing all that if one day it's going to end in your 40s or 50s or 60s, right? All of that doesn't really matter at all. And you know, being a tradesman, you just have to really find that balance. I find a lot of people don't find that balance. You get too busy. You work till 6, you work till 8, you work till 9, then you're like, oh, I'm too tired. I'm just going to take the fast food out. I'm going to take this out and then wake up and then do the same thing again. Like, you can't keep repeating that process.
Well, you know who I talked to. My trainer is he started Blue Collar Transformations and Blue Collar Boom, actually. He had a great transformation. I like what this guy, my coach Jeremy's doing, helping out blue collar guys, because we always say we're too busy working 90-hour weeks and doing all this stuff, and he
What
makes
were
it
the
work
things
for
he
you.
tells you? What are the things he tells you when you say you're too busy?
I mean, I've never told him I'm too busy, because I'm just so I hyper focus on stuff, but he just makes it the food plans easier. Like for HR and wet, I'm gone for an entire week. I already have my plan set out. I've already worked out my food, and I have elastic bands so I can do my workouts, and he has my workouts set out for me for HR and wet so that I can continue to do my workouts while I'm there.
And
So
so we'll work out in your room and then have some beers. Is that what it is?
yeah, I'll make it worth
I
it.
need to do some too. So then I need to fix up my workout plan when I'm traveling because the hardest part when you're traveling is that you don't get your weights, you don't have medicine ball, you don't have your bouncy ball, whatever the hell it is. You don't have a mat, right? So that's one of the hardest things. Does our hotel have a gym?
Yeah, there's a hotel at our gym. So,
There's a
and
hotel at our gym.
I actually have hotel workouts for the small weights that they usually give you at the gym. So,
Hey, see,
yeah,
everybody's in here. Like, if we
yeah.
have an HR event, we just go to that gym and we all hang out there, have a
Yo,
little
we're
30
staying
minute sesh.
at AHR, we're staying at the Hyatt. We should all get up and like 7, 8 a.m. We'll adjust the time for how long we're
Yeah,
gonna.
maybe.
And
You know what? Maybe. I'll wake up to work out.
dude, I've been doing cold plunges at 3:30 in the morning.
How
It's crazy.
All Stars in. We got Lady Plumber that's in. This is fantastic. See, we got four people already. Okay.
We'll do an AHR and then we'll sweat it all out, and then we'll go walk 20,000 steps at the show,
Dude, we
and
sweat it
then.
out. Yeah. And then afterwards, we can have whatever the hell we want to eat and drink whatever we want to drink that day.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty fair.
So, yeah, I saw actually, who's it? Lady Plummer. She actually did the same thing. She hired a coach. She has a fitness coach as well. So there's a lot of people jumping on the same thing, and it's nice to see
I think it's one of the
people
biggest
caring about.
things this year, actually. In the new year, I've been watching a lot of podcasts or watching a lot of videos. More people are getting more intertwined with the whole health idea. I mean, we've always thought about the health idea, but it doesn't really hit home until it really hits home. And I think
Oh,
in the coming years, it's going to be a really big thing.
my sister's in here too. My sister actually just lost a shit ton of weight that she started going to the gym, and she was a big motivation for me as well. She lost a fuck ton of weight, and she looked great. And she honestly, I look at her and now I'm the fat guy in the family, so I gotta beat her,
Well,
right?
that's the thing, you know,
So.
as Lady Plummer is talking about, like, you don't really have that motivation if you don't have that coach. Sometimes you're really paying for somebody to keep you accountable, right? I mean, my coach doesn't really say anything to me because I told you about the story, right? I'm like, I don't ever need accountability. I know what I'm doing. But it's just nice to know the exercise and that, you know, you can talk to somebody about it because they're a business owner as well.
He messages me every day. He knows what I'm going through with my grandfather this week too, and like it's been hard to push to go through like doing the workouts, but
Wow.
I just signed up for a competition actually on First Form. I 50K Canadian for or 50K American to the winter for body transformation, 8 weeks. So
Wow.
I could to technically win 50K if I go hard.
If you lose 20 more pounds, you can finally see your penis again.
No, you can't. It's an innie.
Well, aside from that, new year, new things. I think a lot of people have,
Riddler,
you know,
sorry,
we'll talk
Riddler
about
just joined in.
sub Riddler. I think one of the biggest things that I want to talk about the new year is actually about charges. You know, I think a lot of people we're going through this kind of recession and all this kind of mumbo jumbo kind of shit, but I honestly still think, you know, the trade itself still doesn't stop, or it didn't stop. And have you raised your prices for the new year?
I raised my prices for the new year. I think new construction is slowing down, but service is never going to slow down. I think service is going to pick up even more. I'll be honest with you. December and January, I'm already booked. Usually January, February, March is our slowest time. I'm booked solid.
But that's your
Like I'm
coldest
looking for
time.
guys
How's it? Oh, it's cold.
because we're different over here in Ontario. We don't do a lot of heating
Oh,
because
right.
we don't have gas, right? So it's all plumbing. But our slow time for service is usually January, February, March. And I'm slammed, dude. Like I'm booking into February already. It's nuts.
That's good. But have you raised those prices even though you're being booked up?
I've started charging people overtime. Like if I tell people I'm booked up, my next availability is in 3 4 weeks. I'm like, we can get someone out for overtime, and then they can't find anybody else, so they pay the overtime prices for my guys to come after 4, after 5 o'clock. Just had one the other day.
That's good. That's really good. I mean, we raised ours about 10 to 15%, depending on what it was, for just for the diagnostics for hourly. I don't know if I've ever explained to anybody how we go with our business. We don't do a really hour. We don't do hourly at all, other than drain cleaning, because drain cleaning, you never know what's in there. I know some people have done drain cleaning by the footage. That's how they flat rate it. But I kind of find that kind of snaky sometimes, because you don't even have a fucking counter on your snake. How the fuck do you know how far it fucking went? Right? It's just like, okay, well, this is one feet, this is two. The new rigid one can, but
The
I'm
new
saying in
original on
general,
this.
other than that, what are you gonna do, right? One, two, three. Oh, now it's $500 because I'm fucking 10 hands out, right? That's why I don't have that for that. But drain cleaning is always hourly until we find the situation, then we quote on it. But regularly we do a diagnostic fee, which we go up to the customer's house, find out what's wrong, then we quote the job instead. We talked about this a lot, because flat rate's going to work better in the end when you know what you're doing. You don't want to do an hourly job where you had a ProPress tool and you actually finished 10 joints in like 20 minutes, where you would have soldered and prepped all that within an hour or 2 hours. You're not going to charge fucking what, 30 minutes of work, when you could have charged for 2 hours if you were to use solder.
Well, I think Baker actually charges per tool you pull off the truck. Like he has a tool
Yeah.
charge for every tool that you pull off the truck, which I was actually intrigued by. Because I started charging for tools, like
Yeah.
if it, in specialty tools, like a Sozzle is not going to be a tool I'm going to charge for, but a specialty tool, if I'm pulling a pull press out and I'm doing that, then you're going to get charged the premium rate to use a pro press over, soldering. You want me to solder it? It's going to be just as much in labor. You know what I
You
mean?
could, but then sometimes it's just like, see, when we go on that topic, is why do you even give the choice? If you give the choice to a customer, they cut. Oh, that's a nice tank.
Yeah, that's fine. He was looking at he He's asking about
The
what kind of
customer chooses it, and they start saying, well, why do we have this cost? Why do we have that cost? Why do we have that? And that's the reason why, you know, we talk about flat rate sometimes, because when you go flat rate, you don't have the questions in flat rate. You know, their only question would be, well, where's the breakdown? When you're like, well, fuck, we don't do the breakdown. If we do the breakdown, we have 50 things to put in.
Yo, the biggest plumber just joined in. I thought he
Did
retired.
he just change his name?
I think he did. He retired and then he came out of retirement already.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's why, like, you know, as a reminder, if you have a business and you're running it in 2024 now, you do need to go up. I've been talking to a lot of people, and a lot of people don't. One thing to always remember as a tip is that when you do your quotations, or you do your flat rates, or whatever you're doing for your hourly, always include the fact that you're driving out to grab the part. One biggest thing that a lot of people forget is that, oh, I'm going to do that job for 200. I made this much. What about the time that you drove back to the wholesale to pick that up again? What's the gas cost on that, especially for you guys when you guys drive a fucking miles
Dude,
for
it's
your
like
job?
I mean, if we got to go to a supplier, you're looking 20 minutes there, 20 minutes there, back on a short day. You know what I
Oh,
mean? So,
we just charge straight up an hour for back and forth always, right? Especially for stocking and picking up that material.
I haven't got on the whole I I'm fairly new in the game, right? So when it comes to pricing, I've been doing a lot of hourly pricing, but I haven't really set my flat rates because to me, it's kind of tough because you don't know what you're running into, the kind of material that you're running into. Like let's say someone calls in and they need their kitchen repiped, and then all of a sudden you realize that you got to go and you're like, okay, it costs $450 for me to repipe your kitchen. And then you're like, oh, you get there and it's a lot worse, and you got to go into the wall and it's galvanized in the wall because it's an old house and this and that. Like, do you say this is going to be an extra
We
now?
do because when we do the quotations and we do a diagnostic, anything behind the wall, there's a liability form that the customer signs. So having liability forms is really important when you run the business because you know that you don't have X-ray eyes, you can't see it. And so that comes from experience of how your procedures work. So our procedures work is the fact that we've gone through those situations before. And then every time we have that situation now, we have a procedure for. So if we have something behind the wall that we don't know, we quote for the cost and say, oh, it's going to be $500 to replace this. But if there's anything unforeseen or if it becomes a different material, blah, 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 which every liability waiver has now, the customer signs for it to know that it's an extra cost. So when you actually bring up the extra cost, they get pissed off. You say, well, it's right here. You signed it. This is what we talked about.
Yeah, here it is. Here's the contract. Yeah, so you get them to sign that before you start working at all.
Oh, 100%. And that's always the first way. Like the signature comes from before we entered the house, and then when we enter the house again to talk about it, because we have to go through the price and the situation in case anything happens, and we make sure they read those and sign them. Because when you don't do that, a lot of people like to sign shit sometimes and say they didn't read it, but you're just like, we just say, well, it doesn't really matter. Like your signature's on here.
Now, when you go and do a diagnostic for that, and you got to go over all that paperwork and you sit down, like that takes time as well. Like you got an hour there, so that's built into all your jobs as well, right?
Yeah,
Or
we
do you?
build all that. We build all that in. That's what Clearview Mechanical's question is: do we charge extra for drain cleaning? I'm considering competitor include cable charge. Don't add those things. Sometimes it's cool to add it because they need to know that certain price, but it's better off just getting that one flat fee, including the cable charge and maintenance fee in there. Because when you have those certain fees, you just weed out those certain customers. That's the whole point of doing flat fees sometimes and doing like a quoted basis instead of hourly. Because everybody keep, as soon as somebody asks hourly, you have to understand that kind of creates trouble for you as a business owner. Because first thing they're gonna do when you walk into their house, just gonna look at this. That's all they're looking for the whole time. They don't care about what value you're giving. They don't care about how good you are. They don't care about how much you're talking to them or personally what you do. They just care about this, right? By the time it's 3 hours, they say, well, it's 3 hours. That's all they care about. That's why a flat fee is a good way to kind of push them out of that corner and get the right customer for your business.
I added a truck charge on mine. So all my quotes get a truck charge, a service truck charge. So every time if it's a multiple jobs, every time they go out, they get a $50 truck charge and pays for gas and my travel. You know what I mean? It's just a flat truck charge. And it was better for me to put it as a separate charge, as a truck charge, than adding it onto my hourly. Because when you start throwing $150 an hour, $200 an hour to people, like they just look at that hourly and they're like, what? You know what I mean? How are you charging that much? But if I break it down into separate things, then it's less of a blow to customers.
It
So,
depends. I mean, we talked about this, right? Because when you do that, sometimes they also question, well, what's included in truck charge?
a truck. Charges is the gas and the mileage to get to and from the house.
That's the thing, though. Now you have to explain that again, is what I mean. Like the more charges you have, the more of a chance you have to for the customer to question you about it. And that's what I hate. Like I don't want the extra conversations. Right, it's just like to do it or not to do it. You find us because you have all these company reviews. You find that you're a 5-star company. That's what you're looking for, right? I mean, the hotel has certain shit. You go to a 5-star hotel, they give you that charge. You're not going to be like, well, why do you? They don't split everything up. That's just the fee, you know? Because if they start doing that, then people would be saying, well, what if we didn't want all those drinks in our fridge? What if we don't want the soap that you give us to take home? What if we don't want the slippers? Are you going to start taking off all these kind of prices, right? That's the kind of thing sometimes why I don't really have those breakdowns, because every time they want a breakdown, it's just like they want to sift through one material at a time and say that, hey, I want this and I don't want that.
Yo, I was a little off topic, but I was thinking about marketing, like brand marketing, and I wanted to try. I was actually looking up, trying to find urinal pucks that I could put Gordon Bot logos on, my company logos on, and then any place that you go to work in, you throw the urinal puck into the urinals,
so they can piss on your face.
Yeah. Is that not great marketing?
I think that is, as long as you have a name on there.
You have a name on there, you know what I mean?
You know, that could be our next topic, because, you know, in the year of 2024, I think a lot of businesses always forget the fact that every business comes from the biggest view of marketing.
Yeah.
And a lot of companies are not understanding that. People just think that, oh, you do good work, you have a good word of mouth and all that shit, that you're fine. Yeah, it is, but when you want growth, not every business knows, but as a business owner, you know that you have to add more into marketing.
Yeah.
How all the small businesses come into play, how all the big businesses are now, all of that is because of marketing.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, the fact that you guys are listening to us online and seeing us on Instagram and all this stuff, all of that comes back down to marketing.
It really does.
How do people know Impetus? How do people know Gordon Bot or Relic Group and all that? It's because this is all part of that marketing. And I think a lot of you that are watching now, that if you haven't done that in 2023 or 2022, you guys should actually work in that basis a little bit harder about getting your name out there, because as soon as you get your name out there, it's not just, the brand isn't really relevant in just your little space anymore.
Yeah.
The brand is more relevant in that bigger North American space. So I think it's good that you talk about marketing, because a lot of people are missing the fact that, you know, for growth, it's always better to do that marketing, because you can find new hires there. You can find new connections on there. You can find new contractors on there.
Yeah.
You can even find brands that might want to work with you because you're working on a certain project that, you know, nobody else is working on.
Yeah. I mean, there's
a niche for everything.
And there's new style of marketing. Obviously, social media is a big thing that people are dipping their toes into and they don't understand it. You know what I mean? But we've dove into it quite a bit with the analytics and the insights that you can have on social media and the tracking of what you get. You get so much more from social media than a magazine or a billboard, right? You can see so much more.
You do. I mean, because back in the day, you're not going to pay, I don't know, $2,000-$3,000, whatever it is, to have a page on a magazine to say that you're hiring.
Yeah.
We don't do that. You're able to do it yourself when you put that on social media now. I mean,
yeah,
the past 4 or 5 guys that I've hired, they were through social media.
Yeah,
they've been great.
I always hire from social media. Like my last hire, Mick, was from social media, and he's been following me for years.
Yeah,
so that's good.
That's the best part, because they already know what you're about.
Yeah,
they know what your business is about. They can find all of it.
Yeah,
it's everything that they're expecting and looking for.
And your social media is almost like a resume as well. Like you can't lie. If someone applies for you, you're gonna go on Facebook, you're gonna go on Google and try and find everything.
So it's funny you say that, because I had that conversation with friends lately before the new year, and we were talking about because I want to go retail one day and just work at retail for fucks, right?
Yeah,
that was my joke before, because I've never done retail, because I've, you know, went to the trade, started my business. But then I told them, well, it's kind of hard, because once I have a social presence, people are going to be able to find me as soon as they Google the name.
Yeah.
And then they're telling me, oh no, they're not going to do that. Nobody's going to Google your name before they hire you. I'm like, of course they do. That's the first thing people do nowadays.
Oh yeah.
That's literally the first thing. Sure. Exactly. Cause you're going to find that guy. And that's why, like, if you guys are listening, if you're an owner or not, or you're an employee or apprentice or journeyman, make your fucking page and start fucking taking pictures of your work, right?
Yeah, it shows pride. It shows that you have pride in your work.
It's your resume. And if it's for yourself, it's your own resume. But at the same time, let me talk about you guys as a business owner. You got to start thinking about attributing all those posts and videos from your employees and letting them know that's also your private property. That's another conversation in itself, because you're not... See, there's two ways to look at it, right? As an employee, apprentice, or whatever, blah, blah, blah. course you want to show your resume, but on the other side, as a smart business owner,
yeah,
if you're actually paying them to do that and that's actually your job, they wouldn't even have that picture if it wasn't for your job. That's why we have to talk about another relationship on that aspect where you own that property and own those pictures as well.
Yeah.
So that's a very important, that's actually an important aspect. But if you have a company that doesn't care, hey, all the power to you, that's great, because they don't fucking know about social media, they don't know about digital marketing, that's cool. But yeah, if you're a business owner and you're hearing this right now, it does work both ways. So that's something for you guys to think about in the future.
Yeah. Damn.
Jordan over here, great guy.
Yeah.
Well, we've seen him many times. We've seen him last time from when we went to see Riddler. Jordan was there as well. You guys had the training with him.
Yeah.
He's asking, what's a good strategy to attract good service plumbers?
I don't know.
What do you got, Adam?
I don't know if he knows any better than me, because I have 200 resumes on Indeed right now that I went through, and it's just yes, no, yes, no. To be honest, man, service plumbers are hard to come by.
Dude, this hurt my mouth.
And the problem is with my business, we do an influx of a lot of different things. I just need someone that's willing to find the answers, troubleshoot. You know what I mean? I don't want someone that just wants to go to work and hang pipe. I need someone that wants to troubleshoot and understand the plumbing trade.
All right. Hold up. Top three questions that you ask in a interview.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. You go first.
No, I asked the question.
I don't know. I haven't really done an interview in a while, to be honest. Usually what I use ChatGPT for.
Top three questions. Give me something. Give me even two questions. What do you look for? I'll give you a premise.
Why'd you get into plumbing?
Okay.
I like to know why. I'll tell you, like, my last apprentice that I hired, I asked him what he was looking to get paid. And his response was, I don't really care what I want to get paid. I just want to get into the industry. Right then and there, I knew I was going to hire that kid, because all he cared about was getting into the industry because he wanted to be a plumber really bad. Not because I wanted to pay him a small salary. He knew nothing. But I'm willing to bring him on because he's already dedicated. I don't want someone coming into the trade that thinks they're going to make millions of dollars right off the bat. You know what I mean? But questions? Why do you want to get into plumbing?
Yeah.
Or why did you get into the trade? And do you have a wife and kids? Like, why is that? Because I know they have responsibilities, and there's a bigger reason why they're in the trade, because they have someone at home that they need to provide for. Mm-hmm. I would much rather hire someone that has a wife and kids than hire someone that's like a 20-year-old kid that he's just getting into it because he needs a job.
But you're, you know what I mean, getting to the point where your choices are kind of getting slim. I know. Slim pickings. There's that guy that always talks about it, or other people talk about it. You know, we have every seven people that leave, we have one person coming in. So your decision is always about somebody with wife and kids, and you don't want a 20-year-old. Like, how are you going to get to the fact of molding a 20-year-old?
You just have to find someone that's dedicated. Like I did, Jack, who just got in a car accident. Who just got in a car accident with one of my vans.
Was it from snow, or was it from?
Someone tried to turn right in a lane, but stopped to turn right in the middle of two lanes, and he just didn't notice, slammed on his brakes, and crashed into the back.
So do you have another van for him?
Nope. And the van's not drivable. We just got it in the car star today. It is what it is. Got to make it work.
So second question is about family members. Third question. What's your third question?
What style of plumbing did you like getting into? Commercial, residential, new construction, service? Because there's a lot of different styles of plumbers. You know what I mean?
Okay.
What are some questions that you ask?
Well, I'll put Adam's questions here anyway. So if anybody of you want to answer that, that'd be pretty cool. In case you guys want to work for Adam. I'm just curious what some people's questions, answers would be. Or if you can share your questions as well, let us know in the chat, because I'm curious about what you guys ask.
It's a skill in itself for interviews.
Oh, it is. And it's hard. It's hard. I think we've come to look at certain questions depending on the resumes they bring us. So We'll kind of look at, you know, the sports they play. Sometimes I kind of even look at the music that they listen to. I kind of ask them that kind of question. But all in all, the first thing I ask is just like, how did you find us and why do you want to join us? That's my, ooh, what is that? That's cool. We can put
That's
that on.
cool. Who put a Yeah, that was sweet.
Do it again. I'm kidding. Anyway, that's the first question I usually ask. Why do you want to join us and how did you find out about us? And then, so I'm going to put all this into one question because the it comes as a wave, because the last part of that three question would be, what do you know about us? Because I ask these questions because, one, I want to know how committed this person is. Two, I want to know how much research they've been doing. And three, I want to know how tech savvy they are to find certain information, you know, because a lot of the times it's just that there's so much information about us that you can find online before an interview. I just want to see if they're prepared for that. And if they weren't prepared for it to begin with, it already gives me the answer that this person doesn't even know what the fuck he wants or like why he wants that job.
I like that because anytime I was interviewing for a job, like even when I interviewed to work at Black & Mack when I was an apprentice, I went in there knowing that they started in 1920, that they've been an established company for over 100 years and blah blah blah. Like I understand the history of them, and I when you're able to answer that, it perks your ears up. It means they did their research on you. And they're invested in wanting to come work for you, right? Other than being like, I'm just here because I want to make money.
Yeah, like that as an answer to me doesn't really tell me anything because you're already against the fact of what our mission statement is about and our company values, right? Like, so I think that's a really important thing for even people looking for work right now. If you're looking for work and looking to join another place, do your research, man. Like, it's not blue collar anymore. We're at the fact of being like a light blue collar is what I like to call it all the time. Like, you're not gonna, it's not, people don't need, you don't have it, you have an abundance of that work, but it's not like you're in your fucking pants with an actual ass crack going to a job site where they say, yeah, you can start tomorrow. It's not as simple as that because the businesses now are more intricate. You know, there's benefits, there's tool allowance, there's swag, there's all the other shit that it adds on to. Like, it's not as basic. But anyway, the second question that I'd probably ask would be, just about their experience. Like, what's your experience in the trade? What have you done so far? And then I kind of listen to them talk to kind of see what their experience is like to, because of what they say they've done this and that before, right? Let's just say they did a water pipe. I say, well, what kind of water piping did you do? Did you put showers in? Did you do whatever in? Now you start asking them certain small questions and then see how intricate and see how intense they get into the knowledge, the technical knowledge of what they do. Then you find out more from there. And then third of all, I find out what their hobbies are. Hobbies are really big for me because it kind of tells me what kind of person that I'm going to hire at the same time. Like, even if they're a gamer or something, or if they play sports, I want to know what kind of sports they play, how often they play. Is it like a hobby? Is it
I
a
would be the
competitive
worst.
thing?
Someone asked me what my hobbies were just a while ago, and it was so sad. It was so sad because I was like, I don't have any hobbies because all I do is work. Like, I don't have any hobbies. Like, now I
What do you
guess
mean? Your
this
fish
is.
tank is your hobby. That's a fucking nice fish tank.
Yeah, I used to
Get a
have
close
10
up on
fish
that
tanks.
motherfucker.
I used to have 10 fish tanks, bro.
Oh, damn. You name each fish? Can we get a name on each fish?
No,
Who's
like
that?
you guys can name them though. These are my new ones, my Oscars. So I got albino Oscar, I got red Oscar, orange Oscar. He's hungry. Look at him. And that's my like orange and like camo Oscar. Here, I'll feed them.
Hey, a bit off topic, but is it true that if you put a goldfish in there, it's bad for, oh, whoa. That it's bad for that environment, or is there goldfishes in there?
Dude, these are African cichlids and Oscars. They're the most aggressive freshwater fish that you can get. Look, I got babies down here. Little tiny
Wow.
babies crawling
I'm
around.
actually interested. I'm actually interested. This is pretty neat.
They're the most aggressive fish that you can get.
My dog's still better though.
If you put your hand in it, the Oscars will definitely bite it.
I don't know. If it can eat a bag of sour Skittles, then it can talk to me. My mouth is fucking hurting.
Dude,
Like, if you can actually eat this, it's hurting a lot.
I haven't had candy in so long. I'm so jealous. You know me, how much I
Dude,
like candy.
No, let me tell you, okay, when we go back to health part, candy is actually really easy to eat because you don't see it here, but it's actually 38 pieces is only 160 calories.
Really?
If you actually start looking at the basic nutritional values and calorific values.
It's still sugar though, and it slows down your metabolism.
Oh, you're afraid. But yeah, those, anyways, going back to what we're talking about, those are the questions that I'd ask. Because I find out you really find out that character. So I asked about hobbies and kind of music they listen to is because there's a really big thing when you talk about music as well, because certain people, I know the environment. Like, a big secret that I would say is, if you're telling me you listen to EDM or hardstyle, right? Yeah. There's a 90% chance that you are a snorter, yes, and you go on M and you have hard parties and you drink a lot. That's essentially what it is, right? And then depending on the sport, you know, like we've kind of found certain things when we look at sports as well now, like what people play. And a certain question that we ask is kind of a situational question about, we're thinking about situational questions, like if you were a team captain, this were to happen, that were to happen, and you guys lost. Whose fault is it, right? So we're trying to find out how we can also find leaders within asking certain questions, because when you ask those certain questions, a good leader and a good employee, most of the times will give you the because this is a hard question. It's not those stupid questions of like, what's your mistake? What are some things that are bad about you? It's like, oh, the certain mistakes that's bad about me is because I work a lot, let's just say, right? Those are the stupid answers people can give, right?
Yeah.
But when you give a question about playing a sport and then you test accountability.
Yeah.
Those are the real questions that we like to ask now.
Yeah.
You know, situational questions where we want to see how this individual is going to take accountability, even though it sounds like it's not his fault.
You know what? I also like asking what their flaws are. I like asking what some of their flaws are. Like, what are some things you need to work on? You know what I mean? Like, what are some positive things? But also, I want to know your flaws, because if you don't know your flaws and you don't know what you're bad at, like, I know what I'm bad at.
Yeah.
And I know what I need to work on. You know what I mean? So, like asking them, and if they sit there and go, well, I don't really know of anything bad that I have. I want them to be honest with me. Be up front. Tell me what you think you're bad at, what you need to work on more. Is it consistency? You know what I mean? I could work with honesty.
That's true. I like that. But, you know, those are the questions that I mean, though, right? If you ask what's your flaw, the guy can be like, oh, my flaw is that I work too hard. My flaw is that I'm too good, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, those are answers I'd give, to be honest.
Yeah.
But like, when you hear it from a guy, it's just like, you kind of, I guess it's a good question, a really good question, I guess, at the same time, because you can see how honest the guy is.
What's a culture survey?
A what?
What's a culture survey? Next Gen, he just said he makes everyone take a culture survey, helps not hire on emotion.
Oh, it means that he probably has a certain culture that he has within his business. And he has a bunch of questions based on his culture to see if this guy's the right fit.
Oh,
so it's just like, at a certain situation, maybe his culture could be, oh, we have a monthly event. Are you the type of person to go on company events kind of thing? I don't know. Yeah. I'm just making shit up. But it could be of what his questions are based around the people that they're hiring. And they're trying to find the same people that are aligned with the culture before they start.
I mean, do you have, like, are you Asian on your...
I'm out.
Peace.
I'm out. Peace. No, of course. That's the prerequisite here, man. Yeah. I gotta see the last name. I gotta see the face.
Yeah,
I gotta make sure they're fucking Asian before we're hiring them.
Yeah,
come on.
It was so funny. The last time I was hiring, I think I had a guy. His name was Michael Chan or Michael... It was an Asian last name, and I was like, yo, I think I'm going to hire my first Asian. And then he came in as white as could be. I was like, oh, that sucked.
Hey, once you hire one, maybe you never go back.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, there's not a lot of choices, man. It's funny because at the same time, you say, you know, it's a racial thing, but at the same time, I'm an East fan. right? And when we're in East Van, East Van's known for multiculturalism. Like, dude, there's so many fucking Asians.
Oh,
You go to
I'm
downtown.
sure.
You go to da you went to downtown with us. How many Asians did you walk by?
I don't know. I felt like I was in China
already. Wait, okay, that's racist. But no, like it's very multiculturalism here, right? And I think it's just
it is.
It's new
it
at the same time because a lot of Asians are finally understanding that the trade is beneficial, and that's why a lot of parents are actually getting their Asian kids to go there. Because back in the day when I started my my plumbing thing, my whatever it is,
apprenticeship?
My apprenticeship,
my thing, my plumbing thing.
I wanted to use a more intricate word, but yeah, my apprenticeship. There was only like 3 Asians in there.
Really?
Actually, that's still quite a bit already. But then, like, I think nowadays, like the guys that I have, they have like 5, 6 guys that are Asian that are also within the same class.
Honestly, I don't think I've seen one Asian plumber here in Ontario. It's all like British, Italian, Portuguese, yeah, like that.
They've moved to our side.
A lot of Indian now.
Yeah.
Afghanistan, like a lot of that. There's some really smart people that come over from there. Yeah, I know. A lot of British though in Ontario. A lot of British.
I don't even know what to say. Like, we're trying to look for different ones, but at the same time, we're not hiring all the time.
Yeah. I was the only Asian.
I didn't know she's Asian in all my classes.
You're Asian? Jesus. Did I not.
No.
Now you're connected. Now you have more of a connection.
No, this guy's the now worst. You're the worst. Gonna... That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Timber.
But no, that's cool to see what everybody has for their. Okay, it's nice to know what everybody has for their things. And how they hire, but survey is pretty nice too. Like, it is a pre-screening, but it's really important because if you don't do that, it's either one thing is you hire fast and you fire quick.
Yeah.
Or you kind of screen them almost like they're customers, and you screen them properly to keep the guys that you want, to make sure that they're fit for your company. But at the same time, we have, that's what probations are for now too, right?
Yeah.
We kind of stretched our probation.
You're doing 6 months now?
Nah, like 5 to 6. Like, we call it 6, but then like it's like parole, right? You get a good performance where you do it for 5 months. But it's just because, like, when you do 3 months, especially in the trade, especially if somebody's a bit newer,
yeah,
and they have to learn about your procedures and all that shit, they can breeze through that.
Yeah.
It's simple. It's not until the 3 months afterwards that you really find out. Because I've like 4 or 5 guys that probably past 3 months. And afterwards, they turned out to be
slugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
how do you get your guys to sell? Like, you guys sell for you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They sell jobs. But, like, how do you get your guys to sell for you?
Well, we add on the commission base. Yeah. And on certain times, like, depending on stuff that we want to move. So, we just bought some Flow by Moens lately for a decent cost. And what we did was when we pre-stock certain things, we say, well, let's put a little campaign on this. The next 2 people to sell Flow by Moen will get a bonus of $200 for this cost, right? So always money is always a good thing for the sell. Second of all, we do our commission based on whatever they sell for flat rate, depending on what our internal hourly are, they get extra hours on top of that.
Yeah.
But situationally, to get them to sell, we also have our meetings, our monthly meetings, talk about, you know, what we're trying to sell lately, what are things that you can do to go into a customer's house, and just the training of how to talk to a customer and what to look for. And that's essentially how we get them to do the selling. Every time you get somebody to do a selling, it's like being a car salesman, right? People have to have something as a incentive to sell.
Yeah.
If you don't have an incentive, every day what's going to happen is that you give them their 9 to 5 and they're just going to finish their 9 to 5 and they just go home.
Now, I know we've talked about your guys. So, like, you know, obviously a job is quoted for 4 hours, or like you have your flat rate that's covering 4 hours and guys get done in two, but they get paid for 4. Now, let's say they mess something up and there's a leak. or a drip and they have to go back. They do that their own day and they understand that.
Yeah. I'll pay for the gas still.
You'll pay for the gas still, but they have to go back on their own dime. Yeah.
And but there comes a point where we're talking about lately with some of the guys, it's just that it gets to a point where it's too much, right? To say, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Like you can't always take the hours, but then always have to do a callback, even though it's in your own time.
Yeah.
One, you're driving the van, you're wasting gas like five times now. And at the same time, if you do it on company time, you also made me lose on opportunity costs.
Yeah. So you could have been making more money.
As we're building further right now, the perk is more so for people who are perfecting their craft.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you were to do that call, how often are you going to have a callback?
Yeah.
Right? It's also based on callback percentage. My callback percentage is fucking like 0.5%.
Yeah.
Right? Like if I were to make the call. So if you can have a lower callback percentage, then we're just looking at ways on how we can reinforce that commission basis, because sometimes it's hard to always give the bonus commission, but at the same time have to pay for all their fuck ups, right? That's the biggest thing that we've been having a little trouble on lately. So I've been trying to find ways to go past that. But at the same time, it's also the individual and kind of training them the right way so that we don't have those certain issues.
Make sure they take the extra time to get something done. Like, even though, like, obviously, hey, I have this job, I have 4 hours to do it, but I'm going to take 2 hours and then go home fast. After a few callbacks, they're going to be like, wow, I should really take my time so I don't go back on this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I mean, that's as real as it is. It's just like, they have to know that the callbacks cost money.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes thank you for sending that survey. I definitely will take a look at it. Maybe I'll take the survey too to see if I can join you guys.
Yeah. I'm coming to New Jersey.
New Jersey.
I'm not far.
Yeah, but those are tough things. Like, but when we talk about getting people to sell, it's always incentives. Every time you think about putting something up or wanting to do something, you always have to think about, would you do it if it was for yourself?
Yeah.
That's essentially what I think about all the time, because the reason why I created Impetus, and I tell my guys the same thing, is I created the company based on things I've never liked in the industry.
Yeah.
So everything I try to do is going to be different. And, you know, the biggest talk we've had lately was about raises. That's why we start doing personal development.
Yeah.
And we do personal development, we talk about how raises come when you meet the points that I need you to meet.
Yeah.
Because right now there's actually a prerequisites for you to get your raises.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as the fact where you show up for work and then over a year you get an X amount of percentage of a raise, or every 6 months you get a raise. I don't give a fuck about that. It doesn't do me any good, nor does it do the guy any good. I tell them that, you know, we have a 30, 60, 90 day basis. If you can meet all the 90 days, then you get your full raise or whatever it is. We talk about that at each conversation. And it's going to be working a lot better, because I hate the fact where a lot of people put it into industry where it's based on the amount of hours or the year of apprenticeship you're in. That's what I do the most.
That's what I do, just to keep it unison. So there's no arguments of this guy makes more than me. This guy, I do it. Your first year, this is what you make. Your second year, this is what you make off the percentage of what a journeyman makes. So it's there's in Ontario, it literally says online, apprentices make this percentage of what a journeyman makes.
I get that, and I fucking hate that. I'm a shitster, right? I'm a shitster. Yeah. You know that I'm not gonna follow those, because I tell my guys, you came in for the reason knowing that I'm a shitster. Like, you know, I'm not going to follow those rules. Like, why am I following a rule that if you suck ass, that I'm going to fucking pay you $40-something an hour to be a journeyman just because you fucking finished your test and you fucking got it graded? But guess what? I'm paying you $40-something. You can't fucking do paperwork. You can't fucking sell. You can't fucking clock in your own hours. You can't even talk to a customer. Yeah. How the hell is that
that's work? See, that's where I'm playing a fine line now, where I have to, all my guys have a different kind of skill set. You know what I mean? Like, I have a guy that kills it in service, like crushes it in service. And like, I could put him in a building, he'll know how to shut the building down, do that. He's a journeyman.
But that's what I mean though. Like, you build personal development based on that person.
Yeah.
so that they could get their raises or how much pay they want, depending on how you grew them towards that tree branch, right? It doesn't have to be the same tree branch as everybody, but if you fucking make his tree branch for him and he can reach that level for that tree branch, then he can get to that level and you can pay him as much as the other guy who's actually doing the other thing as well,
Yeah.
because now you have different people in different branches able to be the top of that branch and being able
Yeah.
to do everything that you need them to do. And that's what
Yeah.
I essentially want to build, that I've been trying to build right now and trying to get it across everybody's mind. It's just that, oh, because sometimes how the apprentices like to look at it is, or even I did back in the day, was the fact that, oh, I'm going to do third year, I'm going to do second year, I'm going to do it back to back. So when I come back, I get a $6 raise.
Yeah.
Well, fuck that
Yeah.
shit. I
Yeah,
fucking hate that.
you're not worth
It's
six
stupid.
more dollars.
You're
You're
not
not
worth
worth
six
six
more
more.
dollars because you got more knowledge that's not that you haven't applied yet. Unless
Yeah,
you're already
like
applying that knowledge and you're already doing that, you'd have got paid those $6 an hour more anyways without the fucking going to school.
because really, school is only 10% of the learning. 90% of it is in fields. You know what I
Oh,
mean?
100%, 100%. If you're listening to this as an apprentice right now, that's what you guys should be gearing towards. Stop fucking thinking about your fucking little daily
Yeah.
shit and how you have to meet your second and third year. Think about how you're gonna apply yourself and learn that much and be of value to the company as much as the company's being of value to you.
Honestly, value to the company, that's a big thing. Like, how are you going to bring value? Like, all of my guys know, like, they want to crush their calls out so that they can make more money for the company. And the more money you make for the company, the more money you're going to make. You know what I mean?
That's the conversation I have all the time. I was like, let's talk real business. I mean,
Yeah.
you know, Lady Plumber, I like what you're saying as well, but when you're saying, so one thing that I hope you're doing, why I say personal development's really big, is because you can't just say when they're deserved. Because when you say when they're deserved, you have a different fine line of what deserving means
Yeah.
for everybody.
Yeah.
So you have to put it into actual black and white because you can easily cloud those what's deserved yourself. Right,
Yeah.
because then you kind of think about, oh, if this is 20, this guy's worth $26 is because he's met these and this thing and that thing. You have to write that down. You can't just keep saying he's worth this much because I think he finally deserves it because he's worked hard enough. That
Yeah.
won't make it as a measurement for you. You always have to measure it between words that you've actually written down.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. And like I said, this is all learning curve for me too. You know what I mean? Like, you going from a trades guy that worked on the in the field for so long, such a thing.
Hey,
But
Sakaris.
excited.
Very
I
excited
got my
to see him soon.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Yeah, no, and like I went from a plumber that was in the field to someone running a business. In the last 3 years, it's like an entire new apprenticeship. Understanding this shit, it's not only leadership, but understanding the paperwork side and the business side of things. It's a lot, man. People don't understand it,
It
and it
is.
takes time to really take it in. And if you take too much of it in all at once, you're not going to focus on the things that are important. And
Yeah.
this year is all about really like personal development for my guys. I have a meeting before I go to AHR. I'm
That's
setting
good.
up a meeting with the guys,
I
and
love
I
that.
know what all of them are good at, and I want them all to understand, like, this is where I see you. This is where you benefit the business the most. I want you to focus on this you and this you,
I
and
love
then
that.
let's all come together and come from there.
No, I love that. And that's where I was saying, like, when you talk about numbers as well, that's a conversation I had with my guy Lawson yesterday, and he understands it very well now. It's just that you're going to come to a point where the raises don't just keep happening. It has to come with the value of what you
Yeah.
provide, right? Because as a business itself, you have to understand the numbers is what's important. So if you were bringing in 400K right now, let's just say as an employee, and you're paid, I don't know, 60, 70K. Sure, that's kind of where the balance is, right?
Yeah.
But let's just say you start bringing in 6, 700, 800K or 900K, and you're asking for 150K. That's where you really got me, because you got me by the balls.
Yeah, you're
It's what I
bringing
told
a
him.
lot of money.
When you bring in a lot of money, you got me by the balls. I would say almost yes to everything that you're demanding, as long as it relates with the numbers, because why would I want to lose you over 150K or even 200K if you're bringing in 900K,
Yeah,
right? And that's the
but
realization.
you give them that 150K, and then all of a sudden the numbers drop. That's when you have a conversation.
See,
You know what I mean?
that's the other side. That conversation is based on the fact of it's a scale, right? When we
Yeah.
start talking about sales, when those sales are not there, you're not going to get that same amount of income that you're getting. And then that's kind of almost getting a partner at the same time, but also giving them a bigger realization that, you know, wages aren't just dependent on the fact that you don't perform, right?
Yeah.
Because if you fucking kept doing that, I can't pay you 150K. If all of a sudden you're at 900K, then you get 150K, then you're back at 500.
Yeah. Yeah.
Numbers are going to be there.
I'm dealing with inventory right now, actually. Fuck. Trying to figure inventory out and just and go from there. Like, do you guys do inventory on your trucks and stuff?
We don't, but there's something we could look at right now because I don't know if you looked at it lately, but there's this thing called Canadian Digital Adoption Plan. So if you guys are Canadians, there's a CDAP that you can look for. So aside from the CEBA loan that you can get, I mean, the CEBA loan you have to pay back anyways this year, you can now apply for a digital adoption plan where they have a digital assessment and this person and different businesses that can give you ideas on how you can do inventory and how you can do your digital marketing and all the other shit. Yeah. And the government gives you a loan up to $50,000 for a small business. Over 6 years for 0%.
Crazy. I'm just trying to inventory just stresses me out thinking about it. You know what I mean?
The only inventory that fucking stresses me out is just tools. Like, we're trying to figure out how we can track tools better.
Well, how do you track all the, like, your guys have stock on their trucks, right?
Yeah, but I don't really care about the stock on my truck because when you have the program, we know what they order against for each PO. Yeah. So let's just say even if they did steal it, it has been accounted for and the customer has already paid for it, right? I'm just saying if they did, it already balances out because it was taken away from their own paycheck anyways, because we base commission off of that.
Like if they use some copper, like a foot of copper, you're still charging for a full length of copper.
100%, because I can't fucking buy this much of copper, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So if they end up taking a foot or two, it doesn't really matter. But most of the times, they're not going to because they need a van anyways to do a side job.
Yeah.
And if they're ballsy enough to do a side job anyways, they're already going against company protocol. And we already know all the wholesalers from every level. They're not gonna side with my journeyman versus telling me, hey, your guy's buying stuff and doing a job on the side.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you work here, you know I got eyes everywhere.
Yeah.
As honest as I can say, right? Like, I know everybody, right? You're going to go buy something, you're going to do a side job all of a sudden, I know.
Yeah.
And you already know that our rule for the business is that you don't do side job if you don't have your own business license and insurance.
Yeah.
If you had your business license and your own insurance, I don't care whatever you do, and you can still work here and do the thing. No, we don't allow side work because we don't – if they bring the work back in, buddy, I give them a great cut. I give them almost like 30, 35% of a cut for the profits we both get.
Oh, so that's good. So if they bring in work,
Yeah, if they bring in their own work, that's what I do for them as because I still have to pay for all the other certain fees, but they have to know that, you know, everybody gets taxed, but at the same time, they're not trying to do something cheaper on the outside, right?
Yeah.
Because if they did that, then that means they're also against the company values because the company values talks about not doing that kind of work because we're trying to be better and better the industry.
Yeah, no, because we're so widespread, my guys, like, if they're gonna do a side job way out where they live or whatever, and it's like a small one, that's fine. But if it's a big project, they bring it to us. But if it's like changing a flapper or doing something stupid like that or snaking a drain, like, I'm usually like,
yeah, it's friends and family. But when those things are so small and minuscule, it's just like, go pocket your $80, I don't care.
Yeah,
right? Like, Just don't.
As long as they don't use our vans.
Yeah.
Like, don't use the van. I don't care.
Just don't use the van.
The way I look at it is, if you go do a side job and you use our van, you pull the van up in front of the house, and then you make a mistake, they're gonna come at us. They're gonna come at us as a company, and we didn't insurance that. We didn't cover that job under our business insurance. You did it as a side job. We didn't take collect cash for that job. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and you don't want somebody calling you or where they're parking and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, every company is different. Like, buddy, you do side work. I mean, of course, it's worth it for you.
Yeah.
A side work is worth it for everybody, I always say.
Yeah.
But it's just that if you have a decent company paying you decent wage, and then you can put, like, it really depends. Because when I talk to my guys, it's just like, you're going to charge this much for it anyways. If you just go on the company, charge even higher.
Yeah.
You still would have made whatever you would have made.
Yeah.
And the other other side of what I try to explain nowadays is that cash gets you nowhere. It only gets you so far now because you need lending power to be able to buy homes and to be able to buy anything else you want. If we don't have that, the only thing you can pay for is rent, groceries, and other materialistic shit.
See that what the lady plumber said? Yeah, it's true, man. Like, you go do a side job with the company vehicle and they're going to see the, because the company showed up. You know what I mean? The company vehicle showed up.
That's true. So, that's important. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, great chat today. I think kind of
we covered a lot of shit.
We covered a lot of shit that we didn't even know we were going to cover. We're just strictly talking shit. Yeah. Hopefully you guys like it. We're definitely going to try to do more, but I think maybe what we'll do is when we're in wet, we'll also try to do one with multiple people inside there, actually.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool. I know, man. I'm thinking about it. We've been so busy lately, both of us. And it's like, dude, we were just talking earlier how, like, in less than 15 days, we're headed up to Chicago and Indianapolis for a week straight. And then a week later, we're in Miami.
I know. And I literally only saw you a month ago. And not only a month ago, it's like it's been a month and a bit already. And I already feel like it's just yesterday that we saw.
Yeah.
It's
crazy, dude. So
there are so many events that we're going to be doing. Hopefully you guys can join us. If you find us at AHR, come say hi. If you're going to AHR, let us know. We'll definitely meet up with you. If you want to meet some manufacturers or people that you work with all the time, let us know as well.
Yeah.
Either the web show or AHR, give us a shout.
Yeah. Yo, Pro Drains, I'm so excited to meet him. I'm so excited to meet Pro Drains, man.
Great guy.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week. Hopefully, it'll be on. Have a good one.